We are wrapping up our sermon series this week on contemplative and silent forms of prayer. We have talked about how when you practice a silent form of prayer, if you're willing to listen, God still speaks. And we have talked about how this requires us to surrender to the Spirit, that we have to stop trying to focus on our own abilities and instead make room for God to work in us. Well, this week we're extending some of this for one final message to see what we can learn from this kind of prayer. And that final lesson is that change happens in the world and within ourselves. And if that change happens, we have to ask ourselves if we can admit that sometimes our view of God also needs to change. And that's because we are different. And so God may be different for us as well. So all of this thinking of change this week led me to think of an old philosophical maxim that comes from the ancient Greek philosopher Heraclitus. I know that you woke up this morning thinking that you would hear from Heraclitus. But he famously said more than 1,000 years ago, no man can step in the same river twice. And what he means is that because the river is always in motion, when you step in it a second time, it's new. It's new water. And so even though you are stepping in the same river, everything that makes that river what it is has been replaced. And I thought about this a few weeks ago when we were in New Orleans. Amanda and I spent a weekend at the French Quarter Fest. It's a celebration of music and food and good times in the historic neighborhood. And of course, a lot of it was spent on the banks of the Mississippi River. And I couldn't help but look at that large river, that huge river, one of the largest in the world, and wonder, is there some of the Wabash in it? You know, the Wabash River, of course, empties into the Ohio, and the Ohio flows to the Mississippi. So, of course, certainly some of that river way down south was made up of Wabash water. I almost wondered if some of the water we were watching flow by while we were there had been flowing under the bridge as we left Lafayette on our way out of town. And in so many ways, it's all connected. And that is this source of wonder and amazement. But it's also a reminder that things are in flux. Things are changing. They are mixing together. And really, not just in the world, but inside me, inside you, inside all of us, I am different. When I think about who I am, there is certainly a part of me that was there when I was 20. But there's also the flows of other communities, individuals, experiences, emptying into my being and self. So I am the same as I was, but I'm also not the same. I'm different. So this is the thing with silent prayer, that rather than try to force ourselves into some mold, we instead learn to let be what will be. And it's in that place that we are able to recognize that if we are different, perhaps also our grasp on the God who is infinite may also be different. This is probably an overcomplicated way of saying, because we are different, the God who we meet in life might show up different for us. But there are plenty of stories in Scripture about this kind of change and transformation happening, especially when folks open themselves to the God in the course of their own lives. So today we're going to hear one of these stories, and it is one in which the entire course of our faith is changed. So let's hear our scripture today from Acts chapter 10. About noon the next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat, and while it was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw the heaven opened and something like a large sheet coming down, being lowered to the ground by its four corners, In it were all kinds of four-footed creatures and reptiles and birds of the air. Then he heard a voice saying, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is profane or unclean." The voice said to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call profane." This happened three times, and the thing was suddenly taken up into heaven. May God bless this reading. Well, the early church, especially as it's told in the book of Acts, is full of folks who are rethinking God's relationship to the world. In Jesus Christ, God reveals something which is absolutely rooted in Jewish thought, in theology, but which is also approaching the world in a fresh way. And so much of the story in the book of Acts tells the story of these early churches' efforts to respond to Jesus' death and resurrection. And it involves rethinking the boundaries of the faith. So today we hear the story of Peter going up to the roof. And he goes up to the roof to pray. Now, I don't know the nature of the prayer, whether it was spoken, whether it was silent. But what we do know is that he finds himself in a trance. And in the midst of the trance, God presents to Peter an image of a sheet falling from heaven full of food that, according to the Jewish law, would be considered unclean. And the message from God is, eat this. Do not call unclean what I have called clean. And there's a larger context that Peter is in. The context of this entire experience is a question the early church was facing, not actually about food, but about a group of people, the Gentiles. This is a question with the coming of the Jewish Messiah. Were those outside of the Jewish covenant allowed in these new communities? Within Jewish theology, there was this idea regarding the Messiah, that he would, it was believed by some, open the covenant to the world. And Peter, along with others, are struggling with this. After all, if you have spent your entire life believing one thing, allowing it to change is not easy. So Peter, faced with this prospect that his faith may need to enter a new, more open, more expansive stage, needs to hear from God. And on that roof in which he had entered into prayer, he receives from God a message. Yes, it is okay to welcome these people whom you previously wouldn't have welcomed. Things have changed. In fact, things are changing because nothing remains static. So it can be difficult to allow things within us to change. It can be difficult for people of faith to allow things to happen. You know, in the church, we offer this really high place for right belief. If we're not careful, we come to the belief that if you don't believe the right thing, then at the end of life there will be a quiz, and if you don't get the right answers, you might not pass the test. We think so much of what we believe is about those kinds of answers to questions. So if you follow Christianity online at all, there's been this trend the last couple of years called deconstruction. I don't know if people have heard this term or not. It's become very popular. And this is basically what happens. If you have been raised with the idea that faith has to be one thing, that it has to fit into a certain box, then the process of questioning can result in a lot of worry. For some people, even despair. Because if you are so certain that faith has to be this, and then you start to question that, well, you're just about questioning your own faith. You might be faced with questions of, what if I'm questioning all of this and I'm wrong? What if beyond this rigid certainty, there's nothing? If these things that I believed for so long are actually not the only option, what if it's just pick whatever you want? I'm hoping nobody's deconstructing now. I'll stop asking complicated questions. But these are questions people have asked. I've been in this position as well, just wondering, is there any truth to this? And honestly, I think this is another reason why silent prayer can be so hard for us. Because what if God wants to ask you difficult questions about your faith? What if God wants to pry into your beliefs about who is and isn't welcome? What if something you've been taught about God your entire life has actually washed down the river and been replaced by new water? Is there any point in holding on to it? And can we allow God to speak a new word into our lives? It's difficult. And starting out, it can be difficult to imagine that the questioning will lead to some new, stronger faith. But then you hear examples from folks who have gone through deconstruction and have emerged with a new living faith. You know, I stumbled upon this YouTube video this week. I watched this one YouTube creator in particular. He does almost only reviews of theology books that nobody's heard of. It's really my thing. But this week, he posted this long video about his own process of transformation, about the questioning he had gone through, and it wasn't about a book, it was literally about his own story, and it ended up being like 45 minutes long, and it was the most worthwhile 45 minutes I've spent in a while. The topic he was covering was a view of the cross known as penal substitutionary atonement, which is a topic I owe you a sermon on. This is not that sermon. So just what you have to know is that a lot of folks grow up thinking that there is one way to think about what happened on the cross with Jesus. There is one way to understand that, and that all others are wrong. And that if you do not believe this one way, you will be wrong. You might fail the test at the end. And so this YouTuber starts to tell this story, begins to question this belief. He begins to wonder whether or not his faith in God could withstand a shift in this view. But he says that rather than resist, he instead entered into this period of questioning. He read a lot. And while he doesn't say it, I'm sure that he prayed a lot. And what really stood out to me is when he got to the end of this process, and he got the end of the video, he had something to say about his faith now. He said that the things he struggled with, the tensions and the theology that made him wonder if he could be Christian anymore, that those had been replaced with a new, more expansive understanding of God. And he shared, and this is what has just stuck with me all week, that he now finds more joy in his relationship with Jesus. And I love that idea, that our faith, while sometimes difficult, while challenging us to grow, while calling us to allow to change to happen in our understanding of who God is, that the process, which can begin as a scary prospect and probably last years of some people's lives, can result in a greater joy. There's actually a phrase, by the way. Deconstruction is a relatively new phrase, but in Christian theology, there's for a long time, especially in the mystical tradition, been a phrase for this. It comes from St. John of the Cross, a Spanish mystic from the 16th century. He called it the dark night of the soul. If you spend enough time engaging in the kind of prayer that opens us to the living God, that calls on us to let go of our certainty and instead seek a word from God, you may reach a point where you wonder, is anything I believe true? Lots of folks have experienced this. Some even run away. But for those who stay, the dark night leads to a new realization that what remains when we peel back the layers of our faith, when we let go of our certainty, when we stop relying on what we believe to be unchanging truths, and instead just sit in the contemplative, mystical silence, what we find is the living God waiting for us. So the early disciples went through this period of transformation in their own beliefs. Peter had to deal with his anxiety about being faithful to God. Paul gets struck blind, and we always skip over the part where he goes into the wilderness for many years thinking about the scripture and what they mean. We can imagine that we too will spend time in our life being transformed. After all, we're not the same today as we were yesterday or last year or 20 years ago. There are streams flowing through us, bringing with them new experiences, new wisdoms, new knowledge. And if we're not the same, it's okay to assume that how we know God might also change. But we have to be willing to sit, to listen, to be, to not force things into a way that we think they have to be, to remember in all things that while we are finite, God is infinite, that we are seeking the voice not of one who spoke long ago, but one who continues to speak. All we have to do is listen. Let us pray. Well, holy and gracious God, may we find ourselves in you. May we in all things be your servants. May we be folks who are filled with your Spirit. May we allow what you are doing among us and around us to flow into our being and become part of who we are in you. O holy and gracious God, you are good, and we give thanks for your gifts. Amen.
Friends, we'll stand together and sing another song that Walter has selected for us, Great is Thy Faithfulness.